Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Wren, and I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This module is titled Creating a Manage Impact Solution. In this module, we'll create a solution with multiple projects using Visual Studio authoring extensions for our Manage Impact. We'll use this solution through the rest of the training to create the different Manage Impact elements that we'll be working with. By the end of the training, we'll have a completely functional Manage Impact. Before we do that, though, let's have a look at the sample application that we're going to build a Manage Impact for. This is actually a sample that we've used for a few years at conferences and trainings, and it served us well, so we made some updates to it to illustrate some newer concepts. The application doesn't actually exist. We wanted something that would be very easy to simulate in your own environment without any kind of installation requirements. That way we can focus on the Manage Impact concepts and not have to worry about some application setup. Basically, we'll use existing services and other components to simulate the components of the application. Event create utility to create test events, that sort of thing. And we'll just create our own registry settings to drive our discoveries. The concept of the application is a point of sale system supporting retail stores. We have some components in a central data center and a server and point of sale clients located at each store. When an order is taken at a client, it's cached on the local server and then sent to a central server in the data center. The central server maintains a queue for each of the retail outlets. Each order is stored in the queue before it's written to the database. We'll do some monitoring of those queues using folders and text files to simulate orders. Not entirely realistic, but it's an easy way for us to provide some error conditions and some performance information that we can monitor. And it'll certainly provide some good support for monitoring scripts, which we'll spend a pretty healthy amount of time on. Now, adding to that basic functionality, we have some web servers that allow external customers to access their orders, and we have some batch processing being performed by a Linux server. We'll hold off dealing with that one for a while, but we'll provide monitoring for that when we spend an entire module on discovering and monitoring for Linux. Everything I've defined here as running on-premise, in the stores themselves and in a data center. But once we've gotten all that monitoring working, we'll have a look at doing some customization with the Azure Manage Impact. Basically, we'll look at how our monitoring would change if we move some of these components into the cloud. So this is the basic application we're going to be working with, and I'll define various details about the discovery and monitoring requirements as we get to those different sections. So here we are in Visual Studio. We can go ahead and create the solution and the projects that we need in order to create the Manage Impact for the application that I described. So I'll start by doing a File New. And the first thing you probably see there is this project from existing Manage Impact. Now this is not the option we're going to do, but let me at least talk through it for a brief moment. What this option allows you to do is take an existing Manage Impact, an MP file or an XML file, and import it into Visual Studio, into authoring extensions, so that you can basically work with it and edit it from there. Maybe you created the Manage Impact using another one of the editors or exported from the management group. In this case, though, we're going to create a brand new one. So I'm going to say New Project, and we've got some options here that you can see. We have three different types of Manage Impact we can create, 2007 R2, 2012, and 2012 SP1. Now, in this case, the first thing I'm going to create, the first project, is going to be our main Manage Impact file, which is going to hold our classes, our discoveries, and all our health model. I'm going to create that one in 2007. There are no 2012 features that I need, and this basically gives me the flexibility to install it in either version of Operations Manager. We're going to create a second MP file to hold our dashboards, and that one we will need to use 2012 because dashboards are a feature unique to that, and we need the 2012 schema in order to create those elements. The only difference between 2012 and 2012 SP1 are really just the references that get created. They're identical schema that's going to get created, but when we create references to the different libraries, Windows library, system library, that sort of thing, the SP1 option just uses the more updated version of those references. So in this case, we're going to go ahead and go with 2007 R2. I'm going to call my project mpauthor.stores, which is the name of the MP file that I want. That uses the same name for the solution. I could change the name on the solution if I cared to. The different projects that we create are going to go under that same solution, but I'm fine with that one. And I've already got the location set up where we're going to store that. So I'll go ahead and get that created. And we can see that we already have some references created for us here. These library files, basically any MP that we create is going to reference these. They create the lowest level of classes and health model that we need for other elements. If we take a quick look at one, though, I'll just look at system library here, and we can see where we're getting that from. And you can see the full path to that is part of the Visual Studio, the authoring extensions install. And VSAE actually ships with all of the base library files that we need. So just saves us the trouble of going out and finding those. So with that created, though, let's look at some of the properties on this project here. And we'll go ahead and walk through each of these, and we'll make some modifications. So first off, we see the MPID, and I'm fine with that. That's the file we're going to create, an mpauthor.stores.mp file. We're going to start with version 1.0. The default namespace is interesting, and notice it's the same as the MP's ID. Basically, any of the different elements that we create are going to default to have that prefix. We won't have to keep typing mpauthor.stores over and over for the different IDs for the elements that we create. It's really a very good best practice to use that as the prefix for the element IDs in your MP file, just because it ensures they're unique, make sure we can tell what MP they came from. So just nice little feature of the VSAE that it allows us to define a default one. Next we see the build, and what this to talk to this concept a bit, VSAE is actually a little bit different than other authoring tools. The MP authoring tool, the old authoring console, those work directly with the XML file, so that when we save, we're saving the final product, this final XML file that's going to get installed. VSAE is different. We're actually going to be able to structure all of our MP fragments and scripts and all these different elements that we're going to use in a way that best works for the developer. It really doesn't have to be in its final form, and we'll see that as we walk through the different modules. When we're ready to create the final product, though, then we'll go ahead and do a build. And that's going to generate, basically take all of those different fragments and put them together into a final XML file. What this option allows us to do is to also seal that. So when we do the build, it automatically seals our MP file and creates the MP. So when we do the build, we get an XML. If we also have this option to seal, it creates the MP file for us as well. In this case, we're going to have to seal this one, because remember, we're also going to have that dashboard MP file, which is separate, that will reference this one, and when I reference an MP file, it has to be sealed. So I'm going to select that option. Company name I'll change to MP author. Leave the copyright alone. It's just something that goes into the file. Then I need a key file. Now, I don't have one of those yet. What the key file is going to do is uniquely identify who the author is, and it's required when we do the seal. So what I'm going to do is start up my command prompt here. This is actually the command prompt with Visual Studio that just sets up some different paths to all the utilities that Visual Studio installs with. SN is the utility that I want, which is a strong name utility. If I just type that and look at the different options and scroll up, dash K is what we're interested in, which says it'll generate a new key pair and write it to a file. So I'll go ahead and type SN. I'm going to go ahead and give it the pass so it puts it in the right place for me. It's just a folder I've already created. And I'll call it mpauthor.snk. And this is the same key pair. I forgot my dash K. There we go. And this one key pair I'll actually use for the different projects. So I can use, really typically what we do is create one key pair to identify the author, and then we use that in the different project files that we create. So now that that's created, I can jump over here and just verify. Sure enough, there it is. Here, by the way, is the folder when we created our solution. Here are the files that's part of that. And as we add new MP fragments and different projects, that's actually where they're going to go. So now that that's created, I can go ahead and browse to it. It's already there. We can see that file. And we'll go ahead and select that. So that's everything we need now as far as doing the seal. When we do the build, we're also going to do the seal automatically as well. Next, we look at the management group, and we have the option that when we do a build, we can also automatically deploy. And so what can be very useful is typically when we're doing our development testing, we have a special test or development management group set up. And this is actually mine here. If I wanted to add another one, I just say add, give it a server name, how you're going to log in, and that gets added. Only change I'm going to make here is set that as default. And we'll see in the next option actually why I did that. It's going to say where we're going to deploy this when we do our build. So if we go to the deployment tab, first thing we see here is if we want to do auto increment, I'm going to leave that on. Remember, we started with version 1.0. Every time we build, it's going to increment that version number. And of course, the version number is critical when we use sealed MP so we can verify we have a later version. And so it's actually a real nice feature to go ahead and keep on. The start action here says what's going to happen when I hit start up here. So if you're familiar with using Visual Studio, if I was writing something, say, in C#, start would run my program and basically let me walk through a debug process. In VSAE, what this is going to do is take whatever action that we define down here. The action I'm going to define is that I'm going to select is to go ahead and deploy my project to the default management group. And so what this says is rather than just doing a build and then I'd have to go over to the operations console or PowerShell and go ahead and install it, this way I can go ahead right away and install, go ahead, do the build, and install that right into the management group. So very nice feature and very, very useful when you're in development mode. And then the last option is what projects are going to deploy. Now, I've got selected here just the startup project. And right now, we just have one project, so it's not interesting. But when we add our other one, you'll see that only one of them is set to startup. And to change that, you just say set a startup project. It's pretty simple. But that's the only one that's going to get deployed. There are other options here for the startup project and any other of its references. There's another option below it that I've got a higher resolution set on here just to make this a little bit more legible when it's online and just a little bit of strangeness I'm getting. So we're not seeing that last option that you've probably got in yours, which is to deploy all projects. And that sounds useful, but usually you're working on one project file and that's really the only one you want to install when you're doing your testing. So, but you could take that option. But these are the options I'm going to go ahead and go with. And this MP file is ready to go, or this project, I should say, is ready to go. Now, one thing I'm going to do is start off with an MP fragment. I'm going to say add new item. And I'm not going to go into too much detail on this here. We're going to be doing this quite a bit in the other modules. And so we'll get very familiar with the concept of manage pep fragments and the other options, the other different elements that you can create. But I'm just going to start with a fragment here, and I'm going to call it project. What I want to put in here is a friendly name for our MP file. So right now, if we installed it and we went over to the administration pane in the ops console, you'd just see mpauthor.stores. And be fine, but we really ought to provide a proper display name for the project. And we'll be doing display names for different elements all throughout the different modules. So again, I'm going to do this kind of quick here. And if it's something you're not familiar with, you'll be very, very familiar with it in the other modules. So I have this MP fragment. Notice that when I just type the brace, I get all these options. And this is really just the XML. And of course, VSE understands the proper XML structure of a management pack. And so that's what it's reading from. So I'm going to say language packs. And the option I'm going to take here is language pack. If I say space, those are the different attributes I can set. And I'll go ahead and say ID. And I know that ENU is United States English. It's really kind of the default language pack that we create in all our different MPs. And of course, you can create different languages and something we'll talk about later on. Again, I'm doing this fairly quick just for now. And we'll fill in detail later on. When I say, is that default? I'm going to say true. And what that says is this is our default language pack is going to be United States English. And I hit enter there, and everything seems fine. I'm then going to add display strings, because all I want right now is a display string for the manage pack file. So this mpauthor.store, so we can display something a little more friendly. I'm going to say display string. The element ID is mpauthor.stores. Again, if this looks a little bit strange to you, it won't later on because it's something that we're going to see several times. And then one note in there, which is name. And then in here, I'm going to type the friendly name. Now, really, all I'm doing is same thing without the period in it. This will get a lot more interesting, the other elements that we create where they're really long, fairly cryptic names, and we'll give them proper names in their display string. So this one should be good to go, and this project is ready. I mean, I could actually do a build right here, build the solution, really don't need to yet, but at least we can see down here that the build succeeded. If I had some error in there, we'd see that, and we'd actually see an output pane, and I'm sure we're going to get a chance to see errors as we go through. I'm sure, guarantee you, there are some mistakes I'm going to make along the way through the different modules. Next thing we want to do, though, is let's create ourselves another project. Let's go ahead and create that dashboard one. I'm going to say add new project. Now this time I'm going to say Ops Manager 2012. Remember, Dashboard MP needs to have the 2012 schema because these are features unique to 2012. So I'll call it mpauthor.stores.dashboards. Okay. Now we're going to see that this project gets created in the same solution. So again, this is something actually very, very useful. If you're used to working with the authoring console or some of the other tools that we've got, you typically are going to have to work completely separate on the different MP files that are really going on to the same overall management pack. In this case, we can work with them right next to each other in the same solution. You can see we have our references set up. Now, a little bit different here. If you see, we've got an extra reference in here. Remember, we're using 2012 now. And it adds a standard reference to the visualization library. That library actually contains a bunch of elements that support dashboards, which are, again, unique to 2012. The other thing you can see here is the versions are different. So if I just scroll up here, you can say system health library I'm looking at in 2007, 617.221. And if I look at the same thing in 2012, you can see now it's a version 7. So it's just some slight differences that we see in the versioning there. Other than that, though, really working with the different projects, we're going to see really very, very little difference. They're really the same in working with them. So let's go through this one and set the same options I did before. Remember, we didn't set anything in Management Pack. For the build, I'm going to go ahead and seal it, change the company name, select the same key file that we already created, same manage group I'm working with, so I'll set it as default. And the deployment, we're going to keep auto increment on. I'm going to say deploy projects to the default management group, and I'll leave just as a startup project. So go ahead and save that. Now I'm going to go ahead here and do what I did before, which is add the MP fragment so I can do the friendly name, and I'll also call it project. Okay, I can have the same name because I'm working in a different project here. Rather than type that in like I did before, what I'm going to do is open the other one, just do a copy-paste. One of the great things, on the one hand, working with XML might look a little bit cryptic. Maybe, you know, if I add a UI with dialog boxes, might be a little friendlier to a new author. But when I'm working with the XML, I can very quickly do copy-paste, which is huge when you're dealing with MPs and some pretty big structures. We'll actually be doing quite a bit of copy-paste. So the difference I'm going to say here is make this .dashboards, which is the name of this project. And I'm going to call it mpauthorstores. This will be our friendly string, dashboards, and I'll try to spell it correctly. Okay, so we go ahead and save that there. Now there's one other change that we need to make. Now remember I said, at this point, these are just separate projects. But the dashboard, remember I said that we're going to create dashboards that use elements, different classes and different data that we collect in the MP Author Stores MP. So what that means is our dashboards MP is going to need to reference our stores MP. So I'm going to go ahead and create that reference now so it's ready for us later on. So if I say add reference, now you can see here my reference, I could go and browse and find an MP file sitting on disk, but I'm actually referencing another project within the current solution. You can see right here, it's listing the other project that we have. If we had multiple projects here, we'd see them listed. And I can just go ahead and select that there. Now what's interesting about that, notice the version number here is set to 1.0. Because that's currently the current version build version of the MP Author Stores. Now what's interesting is as we work with the Stores MP and we create different elements, do saves, builds, do testing, its version number is going to increment every time we do the build. since we're in the same solution, this reference will get incremented as well. So it's actually a very nice feature, as opposed to going and pointing to some MP file on disk, because then we wouldn't be able to take advantage of that. The only other thing that I'm going to change here is the alias. Now, MS, it just took the initials of the MP file. But MS is not an alias that really means anything to me. I'm just going to call it stores. And this is completely arbitrary, but this we will reference quite a bit when we're creating different elements. And so we'll see later on how that's used. It's just providing a nice friendly name, makes things a little nicer for us. So with that, we actually are ready to go. These projects are created. I'll just do a build of the solution, which actually does a build of both of those MP files. Make sure that everything's in order. We could actually install these, and we can see it succeeded. Both these MP, these are ready to go. I could actually go ahead and install them. They sit in the management group. They do absolutely nothing because we have no classes. We have absolutely no monitoring defined. There's nothing useful in there. But they are valid MP files, so it is a good start to us. And we'll actually come back to this exact solution in the other modules when we actually go and start creating the different elements that we'll be working with.